All right, we are recording. I figure we're probably just gonna. I'm probably just gonna upload this as like a raw take for the most part.
Just raw doggy.
Just because it's a bonus app.
Yeah.
Pew pew pew. We make our own sound effects for bonus episode.
Boner episode.
Boner. Boner alert.
Boner alert. Yeah. Bonus episode. Dropping in here. Hopefully,
yeah, I bet you guys weren't expecting us.
Yeah.
On this lovely Monday evening / possibly Tuesday morning.
By the time it actually gets edited and put out.
No editing. It's just going up raw. That's what I mean.
Raw doggy.
So if you say anything that will get you canceled, it's you're canceled.
I got a couple comments to
make. I'm not saving them. All right, here, let's get it all out of the way right now, and then we cut it out.
Let me tell you about the beep, and that's why I don't do business in Canada, so.
Nice.
Yeah.
Welcome back in the fort, everybody.
Welcome to our humble abode.
I feel like we were just here.
I said, wow.
We were.
We were just here, talking about the... order in the fort, the exciting, gripping courtroom drama in which the blacks prosecuted the greens for usurping the throne. And we ruled in favor of the blacks due to the widow's law. So we're coming to you today as a kind of a recap. Because
I didn't even know exactly what we wanted to talk about, but in light of us just having the House of the Dragon episode, our episode coming out, and in the vein of kind of what we started this podcast with like theories on series.
Yeah, I mean, it's been so crazy. Saturday, our episode dropped, and then House of the Dragon.
Go back and listen if you haven't yet.
Yeah, it's
Phil already described it.
It's fantastic.
It's a good listen.
But yeah, then that dropped, season 2, episode 1. And so here we are today talking about it. I've watched it twice. I've got some questions and, you know, just want to, you know, kind of shoot the shit with everybody here. So welcome in. First off, what I'll tell you is if you're not a liked or follower, go ahead and like and follow the page. Go ahead and do that on YouTube. Just search Tree Fort Gang, and anywhere it pops up, just be like, oh yeah, I know those guys. They're good guys. Because we are good guys.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then that will motivate us to make more bonus episodes.
Make more episodes in general. Make more content. Make more t-shirts.
Launch the OnlyFans.
Launching the OnlyFans, launching the chat roulette page.
We just become an online gaming somehow.
Online you game gambling. On chat roulette?
Do you know you're chat saying roulette chat roulette. Is? I was thinking of just, well, now you can just go and like, you can't, people live stream like table games and you can just like play table games by a live stream. So that's what I was thinking.
Did you ever do chat roulette?
Yeah. Oh, chat roulette. I think we did more Omegle.
Okay.
We found Drake on there. I've definitely showed you this picture before.
No.
Yeah, we found Drake on there in like 2012, 2011. Nice. I have a picture of it. It is Drake, I promise.
That's pretty cool.
I'll show you it one day.
I mean, chat roulette was just one out of every four people was some dude just jerking it.
Yeah, I was usually that guy.
Yeah.
Drake wasn't happy.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least you're honest about it. So, yeah, so...
I have no idea where to go.
Yeah, season 2, episode 1, House of the Dragon.
House of the Dragon's back.
Speaking of...
This is the first, cranking. Like, Game of Thrones universe show that I've gotten to watch as it came out. I wasn't even a fan by when season 1 of this show came out. Didn't watch any Game of Thrones as it happened. So, I was hype.
I texted Joe John... and said I listened to the full intro. I didn't skip the intro. I took it all in just so that I could feel something again. Because I was just...
that's what you were saying. I forgot that you could skip it because I was watching on definitely not like an illegal
streaming service.
No.
Where it doesn't have the skip intro option. Yeah. But if I was, I would not have been thinking about that when you texted me that.
Mm, yeah. So that's what I said. I just wanted to get that feeling in my bones of getting a sword. You know, there's snow, there's a dragon.
Yeah, who else was feeling a bone? Fucking yeah. Allison.
Allison. She's turned into a little hussy. We're going to get into it.
Yeah, so how do we want to start this? Because this is one take. Well, we want to talk about the episode at all. Do we want to rate the episode?
One take. Everyone knows the rules. We don't need to rate it because, I mean, every time we rate things, it gets kind of...
We never end up basing it on that same scale.
I give this episode 2 dragons up. No, I think we could just kind of talk about it in line that... you know, opening up, it starts off on the wall, which getting the Starks involved, huge. That was my...
Great job casting Craig and Stark.
Yeah, Craig and Stark with ice on his back at the wall with Jace and just laying it out for him, telling him about the wall, the Night's Watch and everything like
as
that.
As vaguely as possible, as we had talked about.
Yeah.
They can never address exactly what's on the other side of the wall. They can just refer to it as, you know, vague, objective things. Yeah. Subjective things.
Yeah. But, so loved that, hyped by that. I thought it was funny that, what I text you during that.
I thought Jace was going to be up there for a lot longer. I didn't expect him to be back in this episode.
I remember thinking, like, could you imagine being one of those dudes? Because, like, they built the wall to keep out the walkers. But the walkers were supposedly sleeping for 1,000 years.
Oh.
So it's like, could you imagine being some guy that worked there or that was, like, in the Night's Watch for, like, 50 years? At like year 322 of having no sign of a White Walker.
It's probably not a bad gig.
Yeah.
He's probably like earning employee. He's probably a guy just like earning employee of the month every month just for like keeping shit really clean.
Yeah.
Organized. You know, maybe they have like little fun outings here or there, like little field trips.
Team building activities, ropes courses. Like,
it was probably pretty chill.
They do a bunch of trust falls and stuff, but
it's just death's knocking on their door.
Yeah,
things get a little rigid.
Like after every after every shift, like, did you see anything? Like, no, I didn't fucking see anything. Like,
a couple wildlings?
No, yeah, a couple wildlings. Definitely no White Walkers. So, I'm gonna go to bed. Like, I don't know. I don't know what you want.
Yeah, the guys that just let all that Craster stuff happen were before. I don't know. Well, I guess they knew about it at that point. But they're like, no White Walkers. This guy is just. Raising a family with his family.
He's just plowing his daughters.
Yeah, and then, I don't fully know how to digest that.
Yeah, and then giving the sons to the White Walkers. Like, there's a bunch of weird stuff going on beyond the wall. But, no,
that was the first thing that we...
When Jace was,
were brought
like,
into. And they did a great job showing it. They showed Winterfell, too, in a nice shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this story is very much not involving any of that.
Yeah.
And
then at the point when Jace is like, you know, what are you protecting against other than the cold and wildlings? And Craigan says, death. And it's, for those of you who watch I Think You Should Leave, it's definitely like the episode in the recent season when the guy gets voted off of The Bachelor, basically, and he's like, I don't want to go home. What's waiting for me at home is bad.
I was like, where are you going with this?
And they're like, what's waiting for you at home? I don't know. But it's bad.
Yeah, they just, yeah.
It's like, that's like what Craigan's doing. And so.
What's over the wall?
I don't know.
But it's bad.
But it's bad.
Yeah. Sick. Yeah, so that's how the episode started out. And then I can't even remember what was immediately after that.
He got the raven. That said his brother got eaten.
Yep, he gets the raven. His brother's eaten.
And Allison's getting eaten.
And then I think they cut to Rhaenys coming back to Dragonstone.
Yes.
Daemon says, let's go get Vhagar. She says, no, we need to rest. I've been patrolling for hundreds of miles. Because I think she was either patrolling to like make sure no one attacks or patrolling like looking for
She said she was patrolling the gullet.
Luke's body. Oh yeah, yeah. The gullet. Yeah, because they hold the it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that happened. You can already tell there's strife with Daemon. Like, it seems fucking frustrated with Rhaenyra's lack of action. He's trying to go to King's Landing. At the end of the episode, he takes the initiative to start Blood and Cheese. So you can tell that, yeah, and they show it when she pulls up, when Rhaenyra finally returns, and she comes back and she just says, I want Aemon dead. I want Aemon, and then she walks away. Everyone else is just kind of looking down. They show Daemon like watching her leave, and you can just tell.
Dude's pumped.
Well, yeah, you can just tell that he's frustrated that she's just not doing anything.
Yeah,
she's letting her enemies move first. So there's that.
That whole scene with Rhaenys is like, I thought that one was weird because it's like, you know, what's her dragon? Rhaenys's.
I just said it starts with an M.
Yeah. But then, like, oh, get on your dragon and I'll take Caraxes and our two dragons can take down Vhagar. And it's like, oh, it's that easy? Like, don't you have like 13 dragons and they have two, maybe three? Like, why don't you just take all of them? Like, he was super pumped up about it. Like, and she said, no, she's tired. Okay, go get somebody else.
Yeah, the timing on that was just weird. It's like, that seems like just, yeah.
Like, go get anybody else then.
Like, who else is there?
If it's as simple as a 2-on-1.
I know, but who else is there?
I don't know.
Not his daughters. They're not ready.
No.
I don't know, because Rhaenys is gone.
But they're the other, like, who's riding Vermithor?
Well, I know that's part of it, but they're not there yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happens. I mean,
also, who was Viserys' dragon?
Balerion.
So then, when he died, he was just like,
not... Yeah, that was like, remember his whole thing in season one was like, these dragons, like, we don't control them.
Okay.
Yeah. So he.
I was like, who took his? Because Aemon took Vhagar. From Laena.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he had Balerion. He only got to, like, actually fly him once, though, because he was already old by the time they bonded.
Yeah.
And then he died. Oh, there is a moment where they show the skull on Dragonstone. Rhaenyra walks past it. It's not Balerion, because his skull's in King's Landing. It's the other one that was from the trio with Aegon and his sisters that's also bigger than Vhagar. They show that one skull on Dragonstone when she returns. yeah. So I don't remember scene by scene, but like, what was the biggest part of the story? Obviously, it was fallout from Luke dying. Is Luke right?
Yeah.
Yep. So that's how it started. And then there was something else between that and Blood and Cheese. Because that was obviously the back half of the episode.
There was Corlys talking to that dude, Alan, who I know, I'm pretty sure he is a dragon rider. And then Rhaenyra is flying around.
She finds proof the wing. Wing and the proof that her son is dead.
Yeah. That's a tough moment.
Yeah, then she flies back. That's when she approaches the table and says all she wants is Aemon, and then walks away. That's the only line she had that whole episode, which is interesting. Yeah.
She's pissed.
She's pissed. She had a miscarriage at the end of season one. She's
ready to move.
And now she lost one of her alive children. The heir to Driftmark.
Yeah. So then Jace comes back and... That's a touching moment. He's upset.
Yeah, when he's reporting back behind, like, through tears. That's pretty well done.
Yeah, that's a good moment. Then there's Kristen and
Aemon. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk about, because that's what was immediately after when Rhaenys comes back.
Kristen and Aemon having a little slumber party.
No, fucking Kristen munching on Allison's box.
It was earlier than that.
Well, that was right. That was like one of the first scenes. Yeah,
Which that's why I was like, the Luke got eaten, and then Allison got eaten.
Oh, I didn't even went over my head. I was trying to figure out where I wanted to go. Listen back. Yeah. Well, so that's not even from the book. They made that for the show, Allison and Sir Criston hooking up. I think that there's rumors of like certain people hooking up because it's given from the perspective of like a history book. Which it's interesting, like how you can even see how that's playing out. I was listening to a YouTube video where it's like the way that what happens with blood and cheese is described is different than how it happened, but like it's described in a way that Helena would remember it, like based on the trauma she's going through in that situation. So it's funny how that you can kind of like see how they took that angle for it. Yeah, so it's just kind of a lot of staging, season two. You can tell within King's Landing there's a lot of not conflicting interests, but there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen where you have a scene where first Aegon brings his son to the round table and he's just kind of fucking with Tywin, or one of not Tywin, Tywin. But the Tywin Lannister, and he's just like cool with it. He's kind of fucking with him, but then you do see that Aegon is trying to also be a good king,
which is cool because I was gonna say we've kind of outlined the Black's path.
Yeah.
Now, the Green's path, like, the one thing with Aegon, and we talked about it in our court case, but, like, all you really know was that he, like, raped that handmaid, and then he was, like, jerking off out the window, and, like, he was kind of a douche.
Yeah, they do a little bit of character development at the end of season one when they're going through the process of finding him. When he went, like, missing, and then when he asks his mom, he's like, do you even love me? And then you can see that at the end of season when he starts to feel the love and adoration. Right. But go ahead.
So I was going to say, I think I did like that they were kind of setting him up to almost be, like, a Joffrey, like, hated, and where you get to that, you know, the petitions where the small folk come and asked the king for assistance in something, and he was trying to be a good king.
He was just saying, he's just like, yeah, I got you.
Yeah, you need sheep? I got sheep for you.
And then Otto comes up, he's like, it's not a good idea. He's like, oh, but he traveled all this way.
Yeah.
Just for him.
We just gotta give him sheep. I'm like, hey, we can't give him sheep because we gotta give everybody sheep.
And but even then, he does set that line with Otto, because then Otto does try to correct him on, it wasn't the next one, it was the third guy that came up. And was asking for money up front for the Smiths, and he's like, "Yeah, we need it." So he's like, "We'll fund it."
Yeah.
So you can tell he's trying to be like a real king. He's not just like Maegor or Joffrey or So there's that. They show Aemon and Sir Criston Cole having a moment where they're meeting up late at night, and they're kind of, you know, planning stuff, and they're saying things should go this way. They want to just take Vhagar out there with. I forget what they say, but Sir Criston basically take the army out there with Vhagar backing him up and to house, it sounded like.
Lead the vanguard.
Yeah, and just making it so, I mean, if that showed up at your doorstep, there's no way you're saying no to bending the knee. And then Otto comes in and catches
him. What do you do if they show up at your doorstep and you want to say, like, shut the door and just, hold on 1 second, I just gotta put clothes on.
I need a minute.
Right? Okay.
You sneak out the back.
Yeah. Like, oh, I'm just toweling off. All right. But we got this dragon. No, I know. You got the dragon. Just give me 30 seconds. They just, boom, book it. That's what I would do.
Side note, I got a little jalapeno in my eye. I was wondering why I was stinging so bad. I was like, oh, my God. I thought I messed my contact up. And then I forgot.
Did I ever tell you about jalapenos?
I have a Hollowussy story as well, so they're probably very close.
Yeah. For our listeners, always make sure that you thoroughly wash your hands before you touch anything that you wouldn't want to get really spicy.
Yeah, sometimes just cool it for the night. And just wait till tomorrow, or take care of it ahead of time.
Yeah. I mean, wise words from Hala a decent
pussy.
Man.
That, yeah, it is. The Hala Pussy. Yeah. There we go.
Jalapenos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mine obviously wasn't about me.
No. But if you're listening, it's in my eye right now. If you're listening, dear woman, sorry. I don't know who it is, but yeah.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Any hoozle. So, yeah, and then Otto catches him. So there's, you can just tell that there's discourse. There's a scene where Allison pulls Otto to the side and says, stop, like, you know, muting me out entirely because the boys will listen to you over me. There's obviously the scenes of her and Kristen Cole hooking up. And then, you know, that's what really fucking rides me raw. Is that they?
You're really.
I know. I keep bringing it up because it's not part of the book, and I do think it's cool when they change.
Do you
stuff.
Want to talk about it?
Well, I do.
Okay.
Talk.
Why does this hurt you? So
as
much?
The lawyer who was defending the Greens, you know, we made a pretty.
You did make a very compelling argument.
Well. In that process, we learned that they, like, these were, you know, if you look at it, besides the law, objectively, these seem like the better people, right? When you're just talking about the quality of the person in regards to their moral standard. And immediately, like, Allison, this whole thing started with Allison Renera because she lied about sleeping with, I think Allison thought it was Renera, or I'm sorry, Damon, but then found out it was Sir Kristen Cole.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, because he's in season one, there's that scene where he's like, I'll kill myself right now, mm-hmm. when she found out about it. Yeah. So she's pissed off about that. And then he's pissed off at her because they hooked up and he didn't want to marry her. And, like, she was making, it was putting him against his honor, because he can't just have sex with whoever, because he's in the Night's Watch or the Night's Guard, King's Guard. Fuck.
Yeah.
And he's just fucking her.
Yeah.
And they're hypocrites.
Bloody hypocrites.
I don't know. It's just, I like that they added it, but it definitely is more of a.
It's an interesting wrinkle.
It's an interesting wrinkle, if in a lot of ways, because you can see Sir Kristen's tied to all of them, and then, spoiler alert, he's going to become the hand at some point.
He was just becoming the rod, and now he's going to become the hand.
Yeah. I don't know. So that happened, and then the main focus of the end of the episode was... well, it was set up throughout the episode.
And then the foot fetish guy. I mean...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The foot fetish guy was there. It's like, God, she just cannot catch a break with people that are just trying to get off around her. I feel bad for her.
Well, you can tell she feels dirty. They made that very clear in the scene of her bathing, where she was being bathed by her handmaids and she dismissed them. And
she's
then
like,
she
you're
just...
not scrubbing hard enough. You need to get in there good.
I think it's in season one, they showed her picking her fingernails a lot and, like, pulling that skin back. But now they're showing her do that. I think it's because she feels dirty. Yeah. Because of the affair and the...
She's a dirty girl.
And the foot guy killing those people. Yeah,
bad girl.
A lot of blood being shed.
Bad girl.
And then the big part of the episode is the blood and cheese saga.
Yes.
Which I think they did a great job with. I think it's kind of like a diet red wedding. It's like a purple wedding. The one where
like a pink wedding.
No, the purple one, Joffrey, where Joffrey died.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that kind of a level of a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, Damon... You know, gets, I guess, blood is somebody that used to serve under the...
It's in the King's Guard, because Damon established... Or no, it's the... Are they the Gold Cloaks? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which are like the City Watch, not the King's Watch.
Yeah, yeah.
So he... Because he started that in season one, so they are all still loyal to him. So he finds one that allegedly, through, the, I guess, the White Worm, does refer him to someone that hates the... High Towers.
Yeah.
So he goes to Blood and...
Yeah. And then they get the rat guy who knows the tunnels.
Cheese.
And Blood and Cheese.
Rat catcher.
Go up. And they're trying... Damon tells them to find Amond. And then they're like, what if we can't find him? And then nothing gets said. It switches to... Kristen.
It just changes the scene, yeah.
Kristen and Amond talking.
Yeah, he uses the rat catcher because he's heard that he can, like, fight, and because he knows the tunnel, Maegar's tunnels underneath the Red Keep better than he knows the shape of his own dick.
Yeah.
Which, He must really know the shape
of it. It's a good thing to know, you know.
Well, I was going to say, one of I don't know. So, yeah, they go up through the tunnels. He brings a dog that he ends up kicking, which, just so we're not on Cheese's side. He's a bad person. He kicked a dog. We don't agree with that. Yeah.
Blood and queso. The Mexican version.
They go up through the tunnels in the Red Keep. They go up to the area where they're not allowed. Which, that area, that was after they walked through the king's, like, the room with the Iron Throne in it, which is interesting.
And Aegon's there just hammered.
Yeah, him and his buddies are just drinking, sitting on the throne, and
coming up with a nickname for him.
His buddies are just gassing him up. Oh, your dick. Oh, yeah. It's so big. Oh.
They should call you the Dragonheart. Oh, they should call you the Dragon Cock. Oh.
Yep.
Like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah. And then they get up to the level where the royals live. You follow Blood for a while. So you're just following him. He's kind of just walking around. I think it's raining, but he's just, like, looking around. And then eventually he turns around, and one of the handmaidens are there. So he's like, oh, this is for the rats. And he starts, like, trying to fake, like, he's trying to catch rats. He looks back towards where she was. She's gone. He starts, I believe, because he pulls a knife out. And he starts running down the hall. So I have to assume that he's trying to chase her so she doesn't snitch. He doesn't find her, but he hears Blood or Cheese in a room with Helena, the queen, knife to her throat. And then, I also wanted to say that in the books, they don't say they want Blood and Cheese to kill Aemon. He just says he wants a son for a son. He keeps it kind of open. Whereas in the show, he said he wants Aemon, and then they leave it open in the show, like, oh, what if we can't find him? So it just set it up a little bit different. But then they basically make Helena point out which of her kids is her son so that they can kill him. Because
they're boy
and because, girl twins. Yeah, boy twins. And girl twins. Yeah. So they can kill the right one, so they can kill, even though they're not killing Aemon, they're killing the son, the heir to the Aegon's Iron Throne.
Jaehaerys.
Yeah, Jaehaerys. It's a pretty good scene. She first tries to give him the necklace, he just rips it off. And then they say, point to which one you want to kill. Or no, point to the son. And then at first Blood's like, she's lying. Which they could have just checked, but I guess they don't want the kids to scream.
Right.
And then Cheese is like, no, she's not, looking at her eyes. And they kill her. They kill Jaehaerys. She runs and grabs Jaehaera while you can hear them, like, silence, like, snuffing him and, like, cutting his throat.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, grabs the kid who's, like, still asleep, runs around, kind of delusional, eventually finds Allison's room, her mom, while she's fucking Christian Cole, while she's riding him. And then she bursts in and says, they killed the boy. And that's how the episode ends.
And it just ends.
Also, I'm going to keep pointing out, I didn't read the books, but I know a lot about them. It's a little bit different, and this is what Noah called us and was saying. In the books, Blood and Cheese, again, they're not told explicitly who to kill, but they make Helena choose one of her kids to kill. There's a third child that's not one of the twins that's there in the book, and she chooses to kill that one. And then they kill Jaehaerys anyway, and they say, basically, like, oh, your mom chose to have you killed. So they, like, kind of fuck. I don't know how old he's supposed to be in that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's a little bit different, and I don't know which way would have actually been better, but it was really good on TV. So that's episode one.
It's in the books.
Then they have the trailer for season two, and we see a lot of action.
So much action.
Yeah. So what are your big thoughts or big takeaways? I've kind of already been saying mine throughout, but I can reiterate them.
I'm just here for it. I'm just excited. I know the story. Like, I know how it ends.
Yeah.
And I know what happens in the middle, but when and how, obviously we talked about, like, the differences that they've made. The small tweaks will be interesting to see. The one that I'm thinking could pop up, and I thought it was happening, but it didn't. Lenore comes back. I know in the book he does get killed, but in the show he fakes being killed so that he can go do pirate stuff with his gay lover. And so now, like,
the boys,
yeah, he can go hang with the boys, literally. And but his dragon, like, because he is not dead, his dragon would still be bonded to him. So it's like, are they going to be like, oh, okay, whatever, like, he's just rebonds with somebody else?
Yeah. Does,
what are they gonna do?
Does the bonding actually end at death or at the perception of death? Like, if the dragon believes Lenore is dead, is he still bonded to Lenore?
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see. The one thing I don't really know about the story is the whole situation with all the dragon riders. It'll be cool to see how that plays out. They did show, I didn't see whose face it was, but they did show that guy that was talking to Corlys talking to somebody else that was younger.
Yeah.
Like, Corlys has gray hair. The other person had long black hair. I don't know if they showed the face or not. I didn't see it, but maybe that could have been a preview of that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I like that they've done things a little bit different than the book. And I think the changes that they did make, aren't nothing. Like, they do alter a lot of the ways that you look at the relationships with everything going on in King's Landing.
Yeah. No, I'm pumped. I think the past couple of years with COVID and then the writer strike and then the actor strike, like, I'm just ready for...
Let them cook.
For the shows to start back up.
Let them cook.
And this is the first one that is coming back. Umbrella Academy, I think, comes back in August. And then Stranger Things is coming back, too. So, like, I'm ready. I'm just excited for some good television again. And
they start filming the Peaky Blinders movie this summer.
Yep. That's going
to
be
there. I started watching... I know this is a mini podcast, so we don't have to go on this, but I started watching the Marvel Universe. I watched Iron Man the other night.
Mm. What'd you think?
It's all right. It's pretty good. It's just I don't have a lot in front of me, movie-wise.
Tony Stark built this in a cave.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't expect that many people to be dying.
Oh, that's... Yeah.
Like, being shot, you know? Mm. I feel like a lot of superhero movies, like, obviously, like, it's like, all right. Like, that probably just killed a million people. I think that was
before Disney took over.
So. Oh, really? Yeah. Okay, I don't know. See, I don't know too much about the universe, but maybe in a couple of weeks, I'll know more.
Yeah.
Anyways, back to House of the Dragon.
Yeah. But also, watch all of them, and then that can start another thing, because I've seen all of those.
Yeah.
At least the good ones. I don't care to talk about anything after, really, Endgame, so.
Yeah, that's kind of where I want to get to.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can do that. But yeah, as far as House of the Dragon, I mean, I'm ready. I know I said I want the swords. And I want to sit there while I'm watching and just have one of the swords in my hand. Dark Sister, Ice.
You can hold my sword.
Long Claw.
Short Claw.
Short. Short stub.
It's a box cutter.
Little cashew.
I'm really fucking excited for the Battle of Rook's Rest this season. I think we're gonna get a lot of dragon on dragon combat, which is hype. They showed, I think, Daemon when he goes to Harrenhal with Caraxes in the preview of this season. It looks good, man. I'm excited. This is the first one I have to wait week over week for the next episode, but it's a good wait. I've already watched probably like a couple hours worth of YouTube videos breaking down the episode.
Sheesh. Yeah.
Favorite moment from the episode. Give me that.
Favorite moment, I think I think my favorite moment was probably I'd say probably when Rhaenyra finds the wing and the cape kind of thing.
Okay.
Just to put the grief, I know it will always be there, but to just kind of cap it. I know, like, Rhaenys was talking to Daemon about it, like, you know, she needs that closure.
Yeah, and then when she comes back, he says, did you find what you were looking for?
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'll avoid the obvious one with, like, the whole the blood and cheese, the climax of the episode. My favorite, a little bit more lighthearted, was in the beginning of the episode when Aegon first comes looking for Jaehaerys, his son, and Helaena is hiding him in school or whatever. And then when he goes to leave, she goes, I'm scared. And he goes, oh, don't worry, we have Vhagar patrolling. She says, not of the dragons, of the rats. And then Aegon just looks at the three hostess, and they all just kind of look down because they know that she's fucking crazy. And what's he say? He goes, the queen's a bit of an odd thing.
Yeah.
I like that moment.
A little foreshadowing.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's had a couple of prophetic moments, but it's funny how they all just look at her like she's fucked up, like, and she's stupid.
Yeah.
When every time she said something, like the last one, I think, was when she said the beast beneath the boards, and she was talking about the dragon.
But she was right.
Could have toasted all of them during,
Yeah.
Yeah, she's probably one of my favorite characters, because a lot of the stuff is subtle with her. Like, even in that moment in season one, like, if you look, she's the only person looking away from Aegon when he's, like, pulling out his sword and having his moment, because she knows something's about to happen. Mm-hmm. So everyone's looking one way, except she's looking right at Aemon, because there's, in the books, theories that Aegon's sons are actually Aemon's.
Yeah.
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 Because he doesn't really love his sister.
Yeah.
I
did also like... obviously, Kragan getting introduced.
They did a phenomenal job casting him.
Yeah. And, you know, being at the wall, having the Starks come back, like, that's huge because I know he does play a big part.
Yeah, it was good to see Winterfell. It was good to see the Stark logo. Or single.
That's Thrones to me.
Yeah.
I don't care about Targaryens. I don't care about Lannisters. I'm a Stark guy. So.
I feel you. Yeah.
Do you feel me?
One of my other favorite moments was when Jace was reporting back to his mom through the tears, and then
that was tough.
Yeah, that was a sweet moment between the two of them. I thought that it was really well done.
And I did like Aegon, where he was like, "Yeah, no, we'll give you sheep." Like,
yeah, trying to do the right thing.
She's trying to be a good guy. Yeah. Trying to be a good king. I give him props for that. I can give him respect for that.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to talk about with the episode?
Aemon sucks, and
Aemon sucks. He's obviously not. He didn't tell them that Vhagar got out of control at all.
Yeah, Daemon's my dog.
But they're kind of relying on him. I mean, Otto said it. He said, "You are the strongest single power in the world."
They do heavy. Like, oh, I don't feel safe. That's fine. Vhagar's there. Like,
oh, we'll go stick Vhagar.
We'll just send Vhagar out there. Like, dude,
Vhagar's fucking retired.
Yeah, old.
Yeah.
Old head.
I mean, even when you see him flying, there's so many holes in his wings. But he still catch a body, though. He showed that at the end of season one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but...
Maybe he just has a thing for it. Maybe he likes it.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think I'm excited. I want to see more dragons. I want the... I'm excited to see how season two develops. So, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. That's what I've got. Let's let these people enjoy their evening.
Yeah, and if you guys like us doing the bonus episode for House of the Dragon, again, kind of going back to our roots, let us know in the comments. Let us know by liking. Let us know by giving us 5 stars. Let us know, because that way we can keep doing it. I don't think we're going to commit to doing it for every single episode right now, but we will talk about this season in totality as it goes.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that comes out. We're super excited to go through that with you guys here over the next 8 weeks. Yeah, from Joe Johnson and Phil Bowden, thanks for joining us today, guys.
Yep. keep listening, keep watching where there's video involved. We love you. Take care. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.